who we were once not a people. We are not only a people now, we have become the people of God, washed by his blood, clothed in his righteousness. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Hey, we give you praise. We worship you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. We worship you, Lord. With our lips, let us sing one confession. With our hearts, hold to one truth alone. For he has erased our transgressions, claimed us and called us his own. His very own. We're the people of God, called by his name, called from the dark and delivered from shame. One holy race, saints everyone, because of the blood of Christ, Jesus the Son. With our lips let us sing one confession. With our hearts hold to one truth alone. For he has erase our transgressions, claimed us and called us his own, his very own. We're the people of of darkness, so you may know where we stand. We are his servants, purchased with scars, bought by the blood of the Lamb, blood of the Lamb.
Share one holy rest.
those spirits of darkness. Hear us, those spirits of darkness, so you may know where we stand. We are his servants, purchased with scars, bought by the blood of the Lamb. Blood of the Lamb. We are the people of God. We're the people of God. One more time, we are the people of God.
We're the people of God.
Called by his name.
From the dark and delivered from shame. One holy race.
Saves everyone because of the blood of Christ. Jesus the Son. Because of the blood of Christ, Jesus the Son. Hallelujah. Go ahead and put your hands together. Oh, for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Yes, we are one holy race. The Bible says you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Hallelujah. You are a holy race. Praise God. One holy race. Let's lift up our hands. One holy race. One holy race. One holy race, because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the blood of the Lamb, one holy race, one holy race. Oh, Father, we praise you. Let's praise him this morning. Let's praise him this morning. Let's praise him this morning. Father, we praise you. We praise you. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We exalt you, Lord. We magnify you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Thank you, Father. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your blood. I want us to just thank God for the blood of Jesus that has made us one holy race. One holy race. I tell you what God started right in the beginning, that he made man, humanity, from one blood. And sin messed up. Christ came to restore. By the blood of Jesus, one holy race. One who were once not a people, we've now become the people of God. The Bible actually calls us members of God's household. We are members of his household. We give you praise, Father. We give you praise. We are members of God's own household. Let's put our hands together for him. Once again, I tell you, I tell you, I tell you, I tell you, we are members of his household. We're members of his household. That's why we call ourselves brothers and sisters. Amen. One holy race. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, we give you praise. One holy race. One holy race. Right now, I just want us to lift up this nation before the Lord. And pray for this nation. And pray for the nations of the world. And pray that the kingdom of God will come indeed. Will come upon the people. Will come upon the land. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we lift up this nation. We lift up this nation before you, Lord. Lord, we ask, O God, let your kingdom come. Lord, let your will be done in the earth, in this nation, in the nations of the earth, especially, Lord, in nations represented in this church, in this house. Lord, nations, oh God, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Lord, your will is that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Lord, let your kingdom come. Lord, let your will be done, Lord. Let your kingdom come. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom advance. Lord, we pray for the advancement of your kingdom. The advancement of your kingdom. Lord, let your kingdom come. Lord, let your kingdom come. Lord, let your will be done, Father. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Your will, O God, is that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Lord, let your kingdom come. Oh, yes, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in this nation. Let your kingdom come, oh God. Lord, we pray that people will come to know you, Lord. That they will come to know you, Lord. That, Lord, we open their eyes, we open their minds, you open their hearts, oh God. Lord, we ask that your light, oh God, will shine upon their hearts, oh God. You will give to them the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. In the face of Jesus Christ. Lord, you give that light to them. You will give that light to them. Lord, we ask that your light will shine upon them, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Your light will shine upon them, Father. Will shine upon their hearts in Jesus' mighty name. Let your light shine upon their hearts, Father. We ask you, oh God. We ask you, oh God. Yea, that God, you will really move, Lord, even across this nation. And you will move in the nations of the earth. You will move in the nations of the earth. And Lord, today we begin to bind things that are contrary to your will. But instead, you give us the keys of the kingdom. Yes, Lord, the keys of the kingdom. The keys of the kingdom. And Lord, you said, Lord, whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. You know, and whatever we lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Lord, today we bind things that are contrary to your will. We bind things that are contrary to your plan and to your purposes, oh God. We bind those things in Jesus' mighty name. Oh, Father God, we just come to you today, Lord. We take authority, Lord, even over those things that are contrary to your plans and your purposes, Lord, even in this land. We take authority over those things in Jesus' name. We take authority, Lord. We take authority, Lord, in the name of Jesus, over those things, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. And Father, Lord, we just ask, oh God, that, Lord, you will move freely. Your spirit will move freely, unhindered in this nation, in this land, that the gospel of Jesus Christ will be preached once again. Lord, fearlessly in this land. We pray that the gospel of Jesus Christ will be preached again. Lord, we pray that every fetter will be removed, oh God. Lord, that, Lord, the people of God, Lord, you grant us the boldness to speak the word. You grant us that boldness by you stretching forth your hand, oh God, to do wonders, signs and wonders, miracles in the name of your holy child, Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray, Lord, that the gospel of Jesus will march on, will move, oh God. We break through barriers, break through territories, oh God. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord, that even across this nation, Lord, in the different part of this nation, Father, and even across the nations of the world, Lord, we're asking, oh God, that God, you will move in this land. You will move, oh God. Lord, you will move, oh God. That your spirit, oh God, will move across this land. Lord, you will move to give to them the knowledge, the light of that knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That the light of that glorious gospel will penetrate the layers of darkness, the darkness of unbelief, the darkness of unbelief, the darkness of religion, the darkness of tradition. Lord, the layer, the light of the gospel will shine forth, will break forth. They said, arise, shine, your light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Lord, we just pray for this nation. Pray for the nations, oh God. We pray that souls will be saved and they will come to the knowledge of the truth. In Jesus' mighty name. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in his name, he said, he is there. He said, if we shall agree as touching anything that we ask, it shall be done. Today, this morning, I just want you to begin to lift up your voice to God. Whatever the needs are in your life, you want to begin to ask that God will meet those needs in the name of Jesus. I want you to begin to ask according to His will today, in line with His will. He said, "You abide in me and my words abide in you." If you do that, ask what you will and it shall be granted unto you. Oh, begin to lift up your needs. Be free to lift up your prayer requests. It says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request known unto God." Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, Father God, we thank you, Lord. Lord, we pray, Lord, we lift up every need in this house before you today. Lord, we pray for those who are sick in their bodies, oh God. Lord, we cry to you day and night. We just reach out to you. We ask, oh God, that your power will be released. Will be released. Will be released into the lives of people. Released into their bodies, into their souls, their minds. Released into the dimensions where your power is needed. That your power, oh God, will be released into the lives of the people of God. Released, oh God, to make that difference in the lives of people, Lord, people who are whatever area and with their struggling, or they believe in you, Father, they trust in you, they look into you, they believe in you, God, Lord, to see your power and your glory, Lord, as we've seen in your word, as we've seen in your word, Lord, you are the true God, you are the living God, you are God, you do not change, you are the Lord, Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, we agree as touching any need. There are people with needs, financial needs, people with needs, physical needs, material needs, spiritual needs. Lord, people with emotional needs. Lord Jesus, you are the balm in Gilead. We ask you to touch everyone today with your power. We ask you to touch everyone with your power. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Just want you to reach out today and touch him. Just touch him. You know, Jesus said, "Who touched me?" He said, "Who touched me?" You know, sometimes we are waiting for his touch, but he said, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" There was that woman in the crowd that said, "If I may but touch the hem of his garment." Maybe you are here wondering when he will touch you. But why don't you just reach out and touch him? Why don't you just touch him? Why don't you touch him? The Bible says that Jesus Christ, knowing that virtue had gone out of him, said, "Who touched me?" I tell you, God wants us to touch us with his power. Touch us. He wants to touch us. He wants to respond. As we just touch him today, he wants to touch us with that power. Yes, Lord. Lord, we just reach out this morning because we know that you are not far from any one of us, because in you we live, we move, and we have our being. We bless you, Heavenly Father. We thank you. Lord, we even pray for those who are lying down sick, either in the hospital or at home. We ask that your power will touch them where they are. Where they are, the power of God will touch them. We speak healing. We speak deliverance. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' mighty name. Why don't you just lift up your hands to him and just bless him. And just give him thanks and bless him. Give him thanks. Give him thanks. Give him thanks for answers to your prayers this morning. Give him thanks. Give him thanks. Lord, we give you thanks and we bless you. We honor you. We adore you. We bless you. We worship you. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus. He's worthy. He's faithful. Let's put our hands together for him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you. In Jesus' name. Before you take your seats, you may please look around you and welcome someone to the house of the Lord. Just welcome somebody to the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Shall we put our hands together for the worship team this morning? Let's appreciate them. Amen. God is good. And all of the time. How many people believe in what they've just said? How many people believe that God is good? Amen. Well, today's Mike Malebi Smith's birthday. Happy birthday, Mike. Amen. Happy birthday to you. The Lord bless you, keep you in the name of Jesus, and continue to make his face to shine upon you, your family, and may he fulfill his good purposes for your life. In Jesus' name, you shall live and not die. Amen. To declare the glory of the Lord, the works of the Lord. Amen. Well, we're moving on to gradually to the end of this year. I tell you, it was only like yesterday the year started. And now we move into the end of it. We want to give God praise and thank him for his faithfulness, for his love, for his mercy. The Bible says it's because of his mercies that we are not consumed. Is that not true? We want to thank God for his faithfulness. And you know, when the worship was going on, at some point, I just, you know, felt in my heart that, you know, to just say, you know, on behalf of my husband and myself, our family, to just say a big thank you to every one of you. You know, we want to really thank you for your support. We want to thank you for being there. Amen. Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. But also without a people, visions can be stalled. You need people to fulfill a vision. And whenever God calls somebody, he always calls people alongside. But there's not one man or one woman that can fulfill God's purpose alone. In God, there's nothing like a one-man riot squad or a self-made person. Amen? I asked them a question in Kano. You know, I was doing this message. I'm still going to do it here at some point. I've done it in quite a number of places. And I asked them a question. You know, I was talking about how to be effective or how to fulfill your ministry. And I said the number one is preparation. And I said in preparation, there are things that are involved. But one thing that is involved in your preparation will be people. Amen. And in that case, I was looking at the fivefold ministry gifts in Ephesians 4. Jesus gave gifts to men, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip the saints. Amen. To train them, to make them fit for service, and also to build up the saints so that we no longer be children. So I asked some people questions, and I said, there were people who were like, whatever. You know, I said, you are a solicitor. I said, how did you become a solicitor? Did you just stay in your house reading law books? And then you set the exams for yourself, and you marked your papers. Then you passed yourself, and then you did the graduation ceremony and awarded yourself the certificate, and you now declared yourself a solicitor, and you are now practicing. I said, who is like that? Nobody. Who is a doctor today? Who is anything today that they train themselves? You see, you know, like my husband would say, that is why Jesus doesn't give us Dix, Thompson, Schofield. He gave men, he gave people to perfect the saints and to edify the saints. In the world, nobody becomes anything without the input of others. Is that okay? Is that not true? Is that not true? You couldn't have, even if you bought those books and read at home, I don't know how you would have done it. You wouldn't have said the papers, the exam, passed yourself and say, I now award myself a certificate or a degree. I now have, I don't know what they call it here, but back at home we call it LLB. BL, if you're now a barrister at law. So, we thank God because God is a good God. So we want to thank each and every one of you. Amen. Some people have been here for a long time. And some people came not too long. I want to thank you for your support. Amen. And I want you to know that that is from the depth of our hearts. We really appreciate you. And we thank God for your lives. We're here to bless you, but you are also a blessing to us. And we thank God genuinely. We want to appreciate you and bless you indeed. In Jesus' name, amen. Please help us put your hands together for yourselves. Amen. Well, right now I want to receive the children so that we can pray for them as they go to their classes. Let's put our hands together for the children. Amen. I tell you, these children are having great fun. I want to ask Auntie Nora to please pray for the children.
We praise you and we thank you, Lord, for each and every child here. We thank you, Lord, that they are the saints in whom you delight, that they are your beloved and they are qualified in you. And we thank you, Lord, for your word that is in them and the words that they're going to listen. We pray, oh Father God, that those words will be living and powerful, that through the power of your spirit, oh Lord, that your spirit will awaken those words, that they'll come to a place where they'll know you as their Lord. They'll experience your power in their lives. And through that, oh Lord, they'll draw others unto you. And we just pray, oh Father God, for their teachers, that you bless them, you grant them every wisdom and knowledge, that they'll impart your wisdom and knowledge to them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. Did you enjoy your Christmas turkey? Was it good? That was very quiet. Was it good?
Yeah.
I tell you, you know what? Last Christmas, was it two, when? Friday was our 9th Christmas in this country. 9th unbroken. Amen. 9th Christmas. Amazing how time flies. I was speaking to someone on the phone yesterday, you know, talking to the person from home. I said, this is our 9th Christmas. That was our 9th Christmas. I said, wow. She said, unbroken. I said, unbroken. I'm telling you, talking about the sacrifice of praise. It's true. It's true. You know, what some of us don't understand is that no matter how bad your home is, home is home. You know, sometimes when we live in a rich or whatever environment or where we believe there's wealth, you feel that people don't even should not feel that they are from somewhere. Even if they are stealing in that place, robbing every day, steal your home. That's what people don't understand. And that's why sometimes some of us need to travel a bit and have some exposure. You know what God told the people of Israel? He said, you went through slavery so you know how to treat slaves. Some of us don't know how to treat other people because we've never been through some things. Some of us don't know how to appreciate the sacrifices of people because we've never been there. And you wonder, why should they miss home? After all, there's nothing to write home about where they're coming from, about where they're coming from. I tell you something, home is home. Home is home. And that is why we need to learn to love and appreciate one another. Because there's something somebody is given to be here. And I'm like, the 9th Christmas. Even our children miss Christmas at home. I miss it. Because it's always different. But thank God, because everywhere we go, God raises a family for us. And because of the commitment we have, I told the person, say, unbroken. I said, yes, unbroken. Since 2000, when we came here, we've never gone home for Christmas. We've always been here through the snow, through the winter. Amen. Amen. And maybe one of these days we'll go and celebrate Christmas at home. Joanne and KJ are saying amen. And what you are enjoying is what some people in Kano had to give up. So when is your time to give up something? Don't cry. You know, when Jesus was speaking, they said, where is he going? Where is he going? Is he going somewhere? I don't know where I'm going. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that has made us one. Because of that blood, we no longer see ourselves in terms of color or race, because there's one holy race. In Christ, there's no male, no female, no Jew, no Gentile, no bond, no free. We don't see ourselves in terms of social class. We don't see ourselves in terms of race or color or gender. Thank you for that blood that has made us one. Thank you. We thank you for making us one. Thank you. But we pray that we'll walk in the reality of this. That we no longer see ourselves. The Bible says we know no man after the flesh. That we no longer see ourselves, know ourselves according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We want to thank you, Father. And Lord, as we get into the word today, I humble myself under your mighty hand and ask you to speak to me, through me, to your people. I ask you to grant me utterance as I speak. And I ask, Heavenly Father, that Lord will minister your truth and your grace to your people. Impart grace, impart life. In Jesus' name. Amen. And the people said aloud, amen.
Amen.
A loud amen.
Amen.
I tell you, the weather has been getting milder and milder. Is that not true? Is that not true? Do I have a witness in the house that the weather is getting milder and milder? Thank you for the thunderous silence. Amen. Yeah. Today, I believe that the things we've been looking at and we're going to look at today, it's going to help us, because on Monday, tomorrow, we're going to start our 3 days of prayer and fasting. Is that not true? I'm going to be coming back in the evening from 7 to latest 8:30. We'll be praying. That's Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. We're going to take it up to 9, our normal Wednesday, whatever. But the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday will be our time of praying and fasting. I want to encourage that during the day, you spend time. But when we come in the evening, we're not going to be dealing with personal issues. So during the day, you find time to settle some things, you know, with God, seek the face of God. I will advise you to have like a journal, okay? Write down your prayer points. Write down the things you want to seek God about. Is that okay? Begin to write them down and begin to fellowship with God in His Word and all that. So you spend time, take out time, okay? Take out time during the day. And when we come in the evening, we're going to be praying together. The first day we'll seek to pray for the nation and the nations. And when the next day, of course, we'll pray for the body of Christ, to pray for this ministry. And then the third day, we're going to pray for this church and for members of the church, among other things. Is that okay? So please, I just want to encourage us to do that. Today, I want us to, you know, I want to begin to look at something. I want to title the message, The Year of the Lord's Favor. The year of the Lord's favor. How many people want to enjoy the favor of the Lord here? What is favor? What is grace or merited favor? The year of the Lord's favor. In Luke chapter 4, let's take it from verse 14 actually. Let me quickly, you know, go in there to see. Yes, Luke chapter 4, are you there? Let me take it from verse 14. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit from where? Where did he? Where? From where? Bible scholars tell me. He had just been tempted from the wilderness. He'd been there 40 days, 40 nights, been tempted of the devil. He passed his test. Did he pass his test? Did he overcome? So the Bible says in verse 14, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Those who are what? Oppressed. Or those who are downtrodden. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Somebody say the acceptable year of the Lord. That is what the NIV translation calls the year of the Lord's favor. The acceptable year of the Lord. It is significant for us to know that Jesus was quoting from Isaiah chapter what? Chapter 60, is that it? Isaiah chapter 60 he was quoting from, and he stopped short because Isaiah 60, that one continues to say, and the year of the Lord's vengeance. Well, he stopped at what? The year of the Lord's favor. Because that was that dispensation that Jesus brought. It is called the dispensation of grace. So he stopped there. He didn't go on because he has come to bring a dispensation of grace. So he didn't go on to complete the prophecy, because that would be for another time. But the prophecy went on to say, and the year of the Lord's vengeance. But he stopped at what? To proclaim what? The acceptable year of the Lord, or the year of the Lord's favor. Bible says in verse 20, then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Can someone say today? Not tomorrow. Not tomorrow. Today. This scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. The Bible says today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off to tomorrow. Don't put it off. I said tomorrow. No, today is the day of salvation. When you hear his voice, if you hear his voice, do not delay. Today is the day of salvation. Do not harden your heart. Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? I pray that we'll not neglect his salvation. We'll not miss out on our day of visitation. Can someone say, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing? You know, there's something about hearing. The Bible says faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. That's what the Bible tells us. You know, he was speaking. Jesus said in some places, he said, blessed are your ears, for they hear these things. He said, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. You know, I would rather be, you know, it's good to be in the right place at the right time with the right people hearing the right thing. Because there are some things that you will never do if you never heard some things. And there are some things that you will do because of what you heard. Today, this scripture, you know, sometimes you come to church, you are like, thank God I went to church today. Thank God I heard what I heard today. What if you never heard it? There are some people today that if they could rewind the clock of their lives. There's some people that when they hear some things, they're like, oh my God, I wish I had heard this before. If I had heard this before I made that decision, my life would have been different. So today, this scripture is fulfilled in, not just fulfilled, in your hearing. He said, blessed are your ears, for they hear those things. You see, that is why you should really appreciate God. Because he said we should not forsake the coming together of one another. You see, there are things that you hear when you come to the house of the Lord. There are things that you hear. So he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. I also want to make a comment or two on that. Somebody say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For those who've been around this church for quite a while, I'm sure you know that there's a difference between the anointing upon and the anointing within. But because there are some people who are new, I'm going to say one or two things about that. Can someone say, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me? You know, the Bible tells us that if you don't, anyone that doesn't have the Spirit of Christ in him is not on him. You see, there is the anointing upon and the anointing within. Is that true? Jesus said, you tarry in Jerusalem until the Holy Ghost is, until you are endued with power from on high. He said, you will receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. There is the anointing upon and the anointing within. In 1 John, I think, chapter 2, verse 27, it says there's an anointing in you that teaches you all things. And you don't need any man to teach you. Now, some people have taken that to mean that we don't need anybody to speak into our life. You know, I said something to them in Kano when I was preaching. I said, you cannot apply a scripture in a way that will contradict another scripture. The Bible says you have an anointing within you that teaches you, don't need any man to teach you. What they're saying is that when you look at somebody and say, I don't need to be telling you that. You should know that. You should have known that by now. Am I saying you don't need people to be teaching you? Because Ephesians 4 says the same that descended, ascended, and he gave gifts to men. And among the gifts are teachers. Paul was also speaking, he said, you have many teachers, but not many fathers. So when he said in 1 John, when John said, you don't need a man to teach you, he was speaking in a particular context. That there's an anointing within you, you can call grace. But I say, the grace that has brought salvation has taught us, appeared as just teaching us to say no to all ungodliness. You have an anointing in you that teaches you. There are some things that you just know. Praise God. You might never have read it in the Bible or seen it in the Bible, but you just know. Why? There's an unction on the inside of you that teaches you. And in that context, John was actually talking about error. Some people who went into heresy, people who went into error. So he was addressing that subject and saying, you have an unction on the inside of you. Amen. You know, when you fed your children with good food, they recognize junk. Amen. Because you fed them on good food. So whenever they see junk, they don't need any man to tell them not to eat junk. So that was what John was saying. He was speaking, the context in which he was speaking had to do with heresy. Because a lot of heresies were going on, people were going into error. And he was saying, look, you guys, you have an unction on the inside of you. How many of you know that when somebody is saying something that is not, something you will be like, And I'm talking about gift of suspicion. Because some people have a gift of suspicion. And some people think discernment is suspicion. They suspect everybody. Actually, from the first day I set my eyes on her, I knew she was not a good person. That's not what we're saying. Okay? So there's the anointing within that teaches you. Grace teaches. We are not under law, but under grace. What does that mean? We don't have to tell you, don't do this, don't do that. We are not under law. We are under grace. There's grace that teaches us. Who taught Abel to give God the firstborn of his sheep or whatever he had? Who taught him? Grace. Something taught him that God deserved the best. Something taught him. And then the Bible tells us in Proverbs, bring to God the first fruit of your increase. Abel did that. He was not under law. The law of Moses had not come. Who taught Abraham to give tithes of all to Melchizedek? There was no law about tithing then, when Abraham tithed everything. There's something that teaches you. You know, sometimes you want to do something, something tells you, no, that's not the right thing to do. So there's the anointing within. Somebody say anointing within. That anointing teaches you, explains scriptures to you when you are reading the Bible. opens up the word of God to you, gives you understanding in the word. It teaches you. Amen. That anointing helps you to live a holy life. Amen. That anointing helps you to, you know, you're able to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. And then there's the anointing upon. The anointing upon is for service. Amen. The anointing upon is for what? Service. The anointing within is to teach you, to grow you, to mature you. How many of you know that the fact they are doing, that you are doing signs and wonders doesn't mean you are growing? You can get saved today, filled with the Holy Ghost today and prophesy today and give word of knowledge, word of wisdom, word of everything. Is that okay? So the anointing within has to do with building you up, amen, developing your character, teaching you the word of God, opening the word of God to you. But there's anointing upon which has to do with what? Service. So let's read this together. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he has anointed me too. And consider all these things are external things, outward things. That is why you see as a Christian, the balance is what? Inward and outward. In reach and outreach. If you are always looking, oh, I'm not good enough, I'm not good enough, oh, I'm not good enough, I'm not good enough, and you are not doing anything externally, there's no balance in your life. And if all you are doing is laying hands on the sick, you know what? A time will come when you are going to burn out completely. So you must balance things out. Someone say balance is the key to life. But we need that anointing upon. And very quickly, I want to tell you there are things that you can do to actually stir up this anointing upon. Amen. Let's quickly see Ephesians chapter 5. I want to show us that so that we can... Actually, there are so many messages that have been done that can help you. You know, Paul was speaking to Timothy in 1 Timothy. Is it 1:7 or where is it? I know verses 6 and 7 somewhere there. He said, stir up the gift of God, which is where? In you... by the laying on of my hands. That gift is where? Inside. It's resident. But he needed to do what? Stir up that gift. So how do you stir up? When the gift is stirred up, that's what we call the anointing upon. When you are born again, something is resident on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit, his anointing is resident. But you must learn to do what? Stir up. Somebody say, I'm going to stir up the gift of God, which is in me. Yes, that is, I think it is. Is it 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. You can write it down, but that's not what I want. Just write that one down. It's going to help you. Because one of the things I want us to do in this time of prayer and fasting is to stir up the anointing upon. Stir up that anointing that is within you to become something that is upon you. Can somebody say amen? So it doesn't just stay inside. It's something upon you. So you can begin to do stuff. You can begin to do stuff like Jesus said in Luke chapter 4. Are you in Ephesians chapter 4? 5? Yes, Ephesians chapter 5. It says in verse 18, from verse 18, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Was he talking to Christians or not? Didn't they have the Holy Spirit in them? They did. They had the Holy Spirit in them. But when he was talking about being filled with the Spirit, you know, you find such examples even in the book of Acts, after the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came down for the first time, filled them and all that and all that. But after that, there was a place where they said when they had finished praying, the place where they were praying was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That is what Paul was trying to capture here. When he said, but you being filled, he said, but being filled with the Holy Spirit, or be being filled, that's a literal translation or whatever, rendition of that. Be being filled, stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Then how do you do that? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. How many of us know that speaking and singing is something that can stir up that anointing? Speaking. For example, when you begin to say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the whole world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When you begin to say that, you're stirring up something. Praise God. You're stirring up something. And when you begin to say that, I begin to say, these signs are following me because I believe in Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I cast out devils. And as you are saying that, you are imagining all the devils in the world. And you are like, if I get any one of you, I'm going to cast you out. And you are going to go out. The Bible says I should resist the devil and he will flee. When you begin to say that, you're stirring up something. Praise God. You are doing what? Stirring up something. It is there. It's not about fake it till you make it. No. It's not. There's no faking it there. It is on the inside of you. He says, stir up the gift of God which is in you. You are stirring up something. You know, like when you are priming water, the well. Because there's something in you. He said, the water that I will give you will be something. It will spring up in you. Will well up in you. So you're speaking the word of God. Hallelujah. You're speaking to one another. Like in those days, you know, you say, how are you? You know, far above principalities and powers. Greater is he who is in me. You know, I'm heaven bound, sin chasing, God loving, you know. So I say speaking to one another. They didn't say gossip to one another. Thank you. Praise God. Can I say speaking to one another? So when you're doing that, then singing, making melody. You know, there's something about singing that stirs up the anointing. You know, there was a prophet, you know, in the Bible, and they went to meet that prophet, and the prophet was so annoyed by the presence of this guy. What's his name? Ahab. You know, some people, their presence can kill the anointing. That's another subject. It's scriptural. Is that not true? When they're around you, because they're so they criticize you, they judge you. Even when they don't say anything, they are judging you. It just kills something. Is that not true? So Ahab said, so Elisha now said, is there a minstrel around? And then they brought this minstrel. And as the minstrel began to play, the anointing upon was stirred up. And Elisha began to prophesy. He began to do what? Prophesy. So singing and making what? Melody. When you begin to just sing to yourself. For one, you will not be saying rubbish. Because you are not engaging your mouth in the right direction. Can somebody say amen? Oh Lord, I give you praise. I worship you, Lord. There is none like you. I'll sing unto you, Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And we're going to sing new songs to the Lord. Amen. You start from the known to the unknown. Can somebody say amen? I say, well, I don't have a good voice. Bible didn't say do a good voice. It said a loud, joyful noise. No, just do something. Amen. And God is pleased with your voice. You may not make it into the choir, but you may not make it, you know. Carnegie Hall might not be able to use you, but God can do something with your voice. Can someone say God can do something with my voice? And God can do a lot, actually. Amen. So don't be discouraged when they kick you out of choir or when they don't put your name on the worship team list. Your name is written in the book of life. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus for that. Amen. So singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Make sure it comes from your heart. It springs from your heart. Giving thanks always, not complaining. Giving thanks, God, I thank you. You know, that's one thing about, you know, those people back in Africa. I mean, somebody just came out of an accident. They're like, God, I thank you that I didn't die. You know, here somebody's like, God, what were you looking at? I thought your word said. I mean, a lady just made a CD. She lost her husband, and 1 or 2 years after, she lost her son. And you just need to listen to this woman singing. When I met her, she said, when my son died, I thought my life was over. She said, but people began to encourage me that I could still do something with my life. Talking about sacrifice of praise. Giving thanks to the Lord. Bible says, in all things, give thanks. In all things, give thanks. You see, when you are a thankful person, you stir up the anointing. You stir up the anointing. You stir up the anointing. Don't be a complaining person. We're in a climate that is full of complaining, but you can be different. Can somebody say amen? So singing, making melody, giving thanks for all things to God the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. Is that part of stirring up the anointing? Yes. Can someone say submitting to one another? Another thing that will help you stir up that anointing is fasting. Fasting and prayer. I deliberately read it from verse 14, that's Luke chapter 4, to let us see. The Bible says that Jesus returned what? In the power of the Spirit. That was after many days of fasting? 40 days of fasting, 40 days and 40 nights. Now, I'm not asking us to do 40 days and 40 nights. What I just want us to see there is that he had just come out of fasting and praying in that presence of God. There's something about fasting and praying that does what? Stirs up the anointing. When they prayed, Acts chapter 4, the place where they were praying was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. So I want to encourage us to get more and more involved in the things that we encourage that anointing upon. Because that anointing upon is for service. That anointing upon is for outreach. And God wants us to reach out to other people. God wants us to touch other people with His power, with His love. I tell you something, some people will never know that God loved them until they taste His power. And we are responsible for that. Are you getting what I'm saying? God wants us to touch the world with His power. When Peter said, look on us, gold, silver and gold we do not have, but such as we have we give unto you, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. He said, faith in His name has made this man sound. So he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has done what? He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Tomorrow we start praying, we start fasting. We've said it before that fasting is not to get God to do what God didn't want to do. It's not to entreat God. Fasting is actually for us. David said, I chastened my soul with fasting. I humbled my soul with fasting. Bible says, Jehoshaphat feared and he sought the Lord and he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. In that time of fasting, we're seeking God, we're seeking His face, we're chastening our soul, we're humbling our soul. And fasting is not to punish yourself. Let me punish myself, that when God sees how much I'm punishing myself, then He will have mercy on me. That is not spiritual, that is not scriptural, sorry. Amen. I'm saying this because tomorrow we're going to start, and I want to encourage as many people as possible to get involved. Do it for yourself. Do it for your family. Do it for people who are around you who need the power of God to touch them. Do it. Like I said, it's not just about inreach. There must be outreach. The anointing upon is for service. It is for service. Reaching out to other people, touching them with the love of God, touching them with the power of God, laying hands on the sick and they recover. Can somebody say amen? Let's see together. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has done what? Anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. I tell you, our preaching becomes more effective when the anointing of the Lord is upon you. Glory to God. I tell you, everyone who is genuinely born again has the anointing of God in them. You have the Spirit of God in you. So the problem is not the anointing within. It's getting the anointing to be upon. Bible says the Holy Ghost fell upon them. Oh, I have the Holy Ghost. Shmi, shmi, shmi. I have the Holy Ghost. You see, that's not the problem. Someone said that's not the problem. If you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit in you. That is not what we're talking about. It is how the anointing will be upon your life. And that one is not automatic. Can someone say, I have the Holy Ghost in me? It is how to get Him to be upon me. I want to hear you. It's how to get Him to be upon me. That is what we are about now. It's not enough for Him to be in me. He must be upon me. Because that is what I need for service. That's what I need for effective service.
Those who lay hands on the sick and somebody with simple cold develops pneumonia, it's not because they didn't have the Holy Spirit in them. Did you hear me? Somebody had a simple cold, and when you finished praying for them, it became pneumonia. It's not because you don't have the Holy Spirit in you. You need the anointing upon. The Bible says the yoke shall be broken, destroyed by the reason of the anointing. Glory to God. Yokes must be destroyed. So he said, to preach the gospel to the poor, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind. There's something about proclamation. Somebody say proclamation. You see, there's something about what? Proclamation. To proclaim liberty. There were people that just Christ would say to them, go and show yourself to the priest. Woman, thou art loosed. That is what? Proclamation. I tell you, we can begin to walk in different dimensions of his power when we seek to have this anointing upon our lives. And that's why we must know that it's not about the anointing within. The Holy Spirit is in you if you are genuinely born again. But the Holy Spirit wants to be upon you for service. Can someone say amen? He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He has appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Somebody say gospel to the poor. What is the gospel? The word gospel means what? Good news. That's actually the meaning of gospel, good news. The New Living Translation says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has appointed me to preach what? Good news to the poor. Good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released. Or NIV says, freedom to the prisoners. I'm going to say freedom to the prisoners. Freedom to the prisoners. He sent me to proclaim that the blind will see, that the downtrodden will be freed from their oppressors, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. Or to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, or to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Like I said, Jesus was reading, actually it's from Isaiah 61 verses 1 and 2. He came to fulfill that scripture. You could sum up his entire earthly ministry under those verses. Is that not true? That was what he came to fulfill. That was what his first coming was about. In Acts 10:38, the Bible says he went about doing good, healing all those who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Healing all those who were what? Oppressed of the devil. The devil is the oppressor. Jesus said, the thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy, but I am come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. He made a separation between himself and the devil. He is not the thief. Satan is the thief. He's the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came that we may have life. Jesus is not the bad guy. He is a good guy. All that the devil has been doing right from the start is to make you feel that God is a bad guy. He is not. He told Eve, God told you not to eat of this fruit so that you don't become wise. That has been Satan's trick from the beginning, to paint God in a bad way, to give us a bad image of God, a bad picture of God. Oh, God doesn't want you to enjoy your life. God doesn't want you to have fun. God doesn't want you to have a beautiful husband, or sorry, a beautiful, handsome husband or whatever, or a beautiful wife. You know, when you love somebody, when you meet somebody you love, don't let God know that you love the person. Just pretend that you don't love the person. Because when God knows you love the person, he won't let you have the person. Said Eve, God told you not to eat of that because he doesn't want you to be wise. He wants to keep things. He wants to, you know, that kind of a thing. God is not the bad guy. Jesus is not the bad guy. Satan is the bad one. You don't confuse that. Don't mix it up any day at any time. Is that okay? He said, this is what the thief has come to do, but this is what I have come to do. For this cause, the Son of God was made manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. That he might dissolve his work, that he might undo his work. Those are the other meanings of the Greek word translated destroyed. Are you understanding what we're saying today? He said, healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. He said, this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had oppressed, lo, these 18 years, bound these 18 years, ought she not be loosed from her infirmity. Satan is the one who bound her, not God. Satan is the one who bound her. Don't tell me that God gave you that sickness to teach you something. Satan is the one who oppresses people. He is the one who binds people with sickness, with disease. Yes, you can learn from what you are going through. I don't even know of anybody who doesn't learn from anything. But that doesn't mean God is the one that brought it on you. Satan is the one who oppresses people. He's the one who binds people with sickness and disease. But Jesus came that we may have life. Can somebody say amen? And he said a strong man, has his goods intact until a stronger one comes on him and overpowers him. Jesus is that stronger one. But let me tell you, that stronger one lives on the inside of you. And you can go around doing good. You can go about doing good, healing all those who are oppressed of the devil. I remember something my husband said. He said when he got saved, he was on campus and as a university student. Today, I don't know what university people do, but that's another subject. He said the first time he went home, because he was the first one to get saved in his family, he said he didn't go home to say, hey, everybody, I'm saved. Everybody, I'm born again. Or going around looking funny in some funny trousers. And, you know what I'm saying? Not talking to anybody, looking gloomy and looking dull. Having a long face like a horse. Condemning everybody, judging everybody. Calling them sinners, calling them names. What did he do? He began to pray for those who were sick. He said, is anybody sick here? Glory to God. And he began to lay hands. I'm going to pray for them. And they're like, wow, it's gone. Wow, it's gone. Praise God. God is a good God. Oh, God is a good God. But I say, taste and see that the Lord is good. I tell you something. Our assignment is to show that God is good. Bible says in Psalm 92, planted in the house of the Lord, that we bring forth fruit in the courts of the Lord. And even in old age, they're going to be fruitful. They will testify that God is faithful. They will testify that God is faithful. I mean, if there's anything that you want to do to get me mad, don't talk about God. Don't talk bad about God. A lot of people don't know God. We are here to show God to people. Bible says no one has ever seen God. Hallelujah. We want to interact with God and show God to the world. And let people know that God is a good God. That God is not the one giving them leukemia. He's not the one giving them cancer. Let them know that through one man's disobedience, called Adam, sin came into the world and death reigned through sin. And all we see today is the product of sin, the result of the sin of Adam. Adam failed God and failed us. Let's get the right picture. But thank God for Jesus, the last Adam. He also came, representing the whole human race. And Bible says, through one man's obedience, we now have righteousness and life reigns. Can somebody say amen? The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. We are there to let people know that God is real. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. In our church in Kano, by departments, I'm sure not just our church in Kano, even Abuja, where we have all our installations, you know, they go out. I know those things might not be allowed here, but just to tell you what they do. Different departments at different times. Some visit the prison after Sunday service. Some will go to the hospital so that whoever wants them to pray for them, they'll pray for them. People do such things. Before you tell me the Lord doesn't allow that here, that's not what I'm talking about. Just keep that to yourself. I'm trying to say we need to reach out to people with the love of Christ. We need to touch people with the power of God. We need to let people know that God is not dead. He is alive. First of all, let your life begin to demonstrate that. Before you go around, just, you know, they didn't say you'll be known by the kind of shirts you are wearing. And once you see them, they button up to here, then they're Christians. That's not what we're talking about. Begin to love people genuinely. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus came to preach what? Good news to the poor. Who are the poor? Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The New Living Translation says, God blesses those who realize their need for Him. So who are these poor that the gospel will be preached to? It's not, you know we Christians, you know, when somebody who doesn't have money, this one looks poor, he will listen to me. You know, God loves you. Go and talk to them in Wentworth Estate. Can I say it again? You know, we Christians, not you Christians, we. That's why we like to preach the gospel to those who are in Africa. Behind you is the whole mission field. We feel more comfortable talking to those who are downtrodden, those of the low class, because we judge that they're the ones that will listen to us, and we have a point. But this Paul here is not talking primarily about those who are financially poor. There are as many unbelievers in England. Well, population-wise, ratio, it's not like that, but you know what I'm saying. You see, an unbeliever in England is not better than the one in Africa. There are not different categories of hell. There's one hell and one heaven. So don't jump from here. Huh? I say, £1, donate £1 a month. Leave that alone. Those ones you see here every day. Thank you for the thunderous silence. You know what I'm saying? There was a time here, I don't want to mention names for security reasons. People will go to the high street and they will target the Africans. Then later they now said, hey, we have people of different culture coming to this church. I told the man, I said, are you not the one who does evangelism? Are you not the one in charge of evangelism? When you go to the street, who do you talk to? Because you are more comfortable talking to them. Somebody say, truth. The truth will set you free. I know the truth is hard, but I will say it. But there's an anointing present here now. Can somebody say amen? To preach the gospel to the poor. Who are the poor? God blesses those who realize their need for him. For the kingdom of heaven will be given to them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. Oh, the reason why people are serving God or calling on God in Africa is because they have problems. That is not why they are calling on God. Because there are people who have problems here who hate God. I see people who are dying of cancer and they still don't want to hear about God. So what are you telling me? Somebody has lied to all of us. I went to the salon some years ago, and a lady from the Caribbean, she was making my hair. And she said, the first time somebody said to me, I don't believe there's God, she said, I almost passed out. She never heard such a thing where she was coming from. She was from Jamaica. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Are you listening to me? Who are the poor? Those who realize their need for God. It's to those people the gospel is preached. That is why people will snub you, because they have not realized their need for God. That is why they will listen to you. They have not realized their need for God. That's why somebody could be dying of cancer and will still say, I don't want to hear the gospel. They have not realized their need for God. God says he will confound the wisdom of the wise. He will bring their wisdom to nothing. He will shame their wisdom. He will use the insignificant things. Let's read that place. I want to put it on record. Are you hearing me? Are you glad you came? I'm going to continue this message on Wednesday, okay? Don't worry. We are here together. It's good to read the Bible in context. Can someone say gospel to the poor? It's not saying go and look out for those who look penniless and jump on them and poach on them. It's those who realize their need for God. How many people here realize their need for God? Put up your hands. Because you are born again, you shouldn't stop realizing your need for God. You still need God. I tell you, I'm going to say that, but let's read this one. It doesn't stop even when you get saved. There's something about those who realize their need for God. Those who in their clothes are like, God, you know, I can't do it without you. You see, grace is made available to them. Strength is supplied to them. Those who realize their need for God. Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. He even said, I can of my own self do nothing. What I see the Father do, that's what I do. That is the secret of the anointing upon. When you and I come to an end of ourselves, I tell you, this nation must come to an end of itself. All those past glories, drop everything. Come to an end. Jesus even told the Jews, he said, you are not going to see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And that time will come to the Jews when they will look on him whom they pierced. That time will come when they will come to an end of themselves and they will realize their need for the Savior. And they will say, blessed is he. That's the time when the nations will be gathering. Hallelujah! When you have the Armageddon, that is another story. But they will come to the place where they realize their need for God. Because the gospel is preached to those, not to the cocky, not to the prideful. Are you here? I'm going to begin to round up. Are you glad you came? Okay, now. Is it 1 Corinthians? Yes, chapter 1. I've seen it. I'm going to read it. Verse 18. Let me take it from verse 17. I like these words of Paul. Paul is, when I say my man, Bunchy, don't be jealous, okay? Not, you know, he's not alive. You are my man any day. But you know what I mean. Yeah, it's true. Can you imagine my husband saying someone is his woman? I'm going to say, okay, when we get home, you explain yourself. So, verse 17. For Christ did not send me to baptize. Someone say, focus. He didn't send me to be distributing Easter bunny. If he sent you, go ahead and distribute it. He didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Was he saying baptism was wrong? No. He said, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom. I like this. Not with wisdom of words. That is what some people's Christianity have become. Words. Just words. No action. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. God will do it. And he has started doing it. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer or the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks and to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called. The Bible says all things work together for the good of those who are the called of the Lord and those who love God and those who are the called according to his purpose. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Can you see that? Christ is both what? The power of God and the wisdom of God. You see, to the Jews, because they are looking for signs, he became what? A stumbling block. And to the Greeks, because they are looking for wisdom, he became what? Foolishness. But to those who believe, the same Christ became the power and the wisdom. So what is the key? You believe. When you believe, he will become everything to you. But if it's wisdom you are looking for, it will be foolishness because it won't make sense. And if you are looking for signs, you become a stumbling block because you won't see those signs. But when you believe him, he will become everything everybody's looking for. He will become power. He will become wisdom. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Are you glad you came? The gospel is preached to the poor. I want you to take note of something. In the Beatitudes, the first blessedness went to those who are poor in spirit. Remember the thieves crucified alongside Jesus? One of them said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I said to you, today you will be with me in paradise. That's Luke chapter 23, write it down, verses 42 and 43. Also the story, I'm giving you examples of the poor now, as I round up this part, because I want to round up this part of the message, the gospel to the poor, okay? That one said, remember me. The other one was saying, he's really the son of God. You know that kind of thing he was saying. But, you know, that one was criticizing him, judging him. That was the one. I don't know if it was right or left hand. I don't know what right hand it was. And then, but one was saying, remember me. That man was poor in spirit. Remember me when you come to your kingdom. You know, the Bible says in James that the poor are rich in faith. Remember me when you come to your kingdom. Also the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector who went into the temple to pray. The tax collector went home justified by God. That's what the Bible says. He went home justified. The Bible says he prayed saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Luke 18, verse 13, I think. The Bible says he could not even look up. But the other one was like, I fast twice a I tithe, I do this, I do that. Some of us come to God on the basis of our own righteousness. The Bible says your self-righteousness, they are like filthy rags before God. You don't come to God based on your righteousness. You come based on his righteousness. Paul said, I don't even want to be found standing in my own righteousness. Does that mean Paul was not righteous? He was. But he said, I don't want to stand in my righteousness, but I want to be found clothed in his own righteousness. Can somebody say amen? He said something in Philippians 3. Let's see that very quickly. Philippians chapter 3. We're still talking about what? Poor in spirit. Why am I saying it? It's not only for those who are not saved yet. It's also for us. If you want to know the secret of tapping into the power of God, be poor in spirit. Can someone say, I'm poor in spirit? Be poor in spirit. If you want to know the secret of the power, that secret to his power, be poor in spirit. Philippians 3, are you there? Let's just see something very quickly. He said in verse 3, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no what? Confidence in the flesh. Let's see what it means to have confidence in the flesh. An example of what it means. Verse 4, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. This guy was posh in his own days. He said, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee. You know, Hebrews, the Jews were so stuck up. That was why when Peter went into the house of Cornelius, they called him to the council to come and explain himself. Jews never went into the house of people who were not Jews. They were stuck up. When they found Jesus talking to that Samaritan woman, the woman was shocked herself that Jesus could talk to her. Are you listening? So this was what Paul was talking about. Listen, he said concerning zeal persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is of the law, I'm blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Can someone say, coming to an end of oneself? That's what it means to be poor in spirit. Those who are going to have good news preached to them, either they are saved now or not, will be those who are poor in spirit. Not those who are coming to God on the basis of their righteousness. Are you tracking with me? He said, I counted them loss for Christ. And so on. Yet, indeed, I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Can someone say that I may gain Christ? And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. When Jesus saw the faith of the friends of the paralytic, he said to them, son, your sins are forgiven you. When Jesus perceived that the scribes were reasoning in their hearts, that they blasphemed by those words, he said, which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk. When the scribes and the Pharisees saw Jesus eating with the tax collector and sinners, they complained to his disciples. Jesus heard it and said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician. I'm talking about being poor in spirit now. He said, those who are well, they have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, were these Pharisees sinners? Yes. But because they thought they were well, Jesus said, I didn't come for you. I came for those who realized their need for me. That's in Mark chapter 2, verse 17. You can write it down. Jesus said to the man born blind, after the miracle, he was thrown out of the synagogue. So Jesus said to him, for judgment I had come to this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be what? May be blind. He's not talking about physical blindness now, or physical sight. He has switched now into the spiritual. That those who do not see, do you know that song that says, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind, now I see. He said, I came for judgment into the world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be blind. Then some Pharisees who heard him said, are we blind also? You know those Pharisees. Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore your sin remains. Because you say, I'm all right. You say, I'm cool. You say, I see. If you had admitted your blindness to yourself, you would have had no sin. But because you say, you see. Jesus came to preach the good news to the poor. He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Proverbs 28 verse 13. What is the good news? 2 Corinthians 5:19, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation, not counting men's sins against them, no longer counting people's sins against them, not putting their sins to their account. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and those whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. I want us to bow our heads. Proverbs 28, verse 13. He who covers his sins will not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. He said, you guys, if you actually said you were blind, you will have no sin. But because you said you can see, then you have a sin. You have sin. The gospel is for those who are poor in spirit. Those who realize their need for God. Jesus said, abide in me. As a branch cannot bear fruit unless it abides in the vine, no longer can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. He said, if a branch does not abide in the vine, it withers, gets dried up, cut off, and burnt up. Only you good for your fireplace, good for cooking, for those who use firewood for cooking, is of no use. We must abide in him, and it takes realizing our need for him. That we're not found clothed in our own righteousness. It's good to be righteous, but are you standing in your own righteousness or in his own righteousness? Are you standing in who you are in the natural or in who he has made you and what he has made you? Paul said, if anybody has any right to glory, I have more reasons. According to the law, blameless. Circumcised on the eighth day. Born to Hebrews. To Hebrews. Hebrew of Hebrews. No mixed whatever. We said all those things I count as rubbish. The Bible says we no longer know any man after the flesh. When you look at yourself, how do you see yourself? Are you still looking at yourself according to the flesh? What is it that gives you that sense of significance? That pride that you have? your nationality in the flesh, where you came from, how rich your parents are, how rich your background is. You can't deny all that. But that is not what you should carry in your consciousness. It is who you are in Christ, who He has made you. The gospel is preached to the poor. What it's saying to us is that it is those who realize their need for God. That is why some people don't want to hear the gospel, or they are not in that place. And that's why when we pray for people, we intercede for people. Let's learn to pray for them. That God will open their eyes. God will open their eyes. God will open their eyes. That the grace will open their eyes. That they will see. That they will see their state. They will see their real state, their real spiritual state. I want us to begin to worship the Lord with our offerings right now. We want to talk to Him. Like I said, we're going to make sure in this time of prayer and fasting, we spend time in the things that will stir up that anointing. That anointing of God coming upon our lives in a new dimension, in a new way.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. This was grace that taught my heart to fear. Grace of fear. Really, how precious did that grace appear. They are I first believe. Many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come. 'Tis grace that me save those far, and grace will lead me home. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be. As long as life endures, when we've been here 10,000 years, bright shine Shining as the sun, we've no less days to say God's praise than when we first began.
Just appreciate that grace this moment. Just think. He said to preach the gospel to the poor, recovery of sight to those who are blind. He said, for judgment I came, that those who are blind may see, and those who see may be blind. Oh, yes, Lord, we worship you, Lord. He was saying,
I was what was blind, but now I see. Thank you, Jesus. Now I see.
Except for judgment, I came into this world, that those who see, those who are blind may see, and those who see may be blind. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your word. We celebrate your grace. We thank you for what you've done in our lives. We thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming. You came for judgment into this world, that we who were blind may see, and those who see may be blind. We want to thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you because we were once lost, but now we have found. You found us. You said, I was found by those who did not look for me. You found us. You found us. You said, I was found by those who did not seek me. You found us. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. As with the sound. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving me all chance to bring the word. Thank you for imparting grace to every hearer. Thank you because none of us will remain the same. Thank you because we are people who shall remain poor in the spirit. We shall remain poor in the spirit. We shall always realize our need for you. We will never come to a point where we'll begin to think we no longer need you. For Paul said, I will glory in my tribulation. That when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Because his strength is made perfect in my weakness. That we'll be a bunch of people who will keep on realizing our need for you in every area of our lives. Lord, we ask you to forgive us. Forgive our pride, our pridefulness. Forgive our haughtiness. Forgive us. For in any area where we believe that we've arrived, and where we believe that we no longer need you, it was grace that brought us to this point, and it is grace that will take us home and lead us through and take us home. Lord, we give you praise. Thank you for our offerings today. We acknowledge that you gave us the power to get wealth in the first place. We acknowledge that you are the source of all the good things in our life. For every good and perfect gift comes from you. You are the Father of light in you. There's no shadow of turning. There's no variableness. We want to thank you so much. We want to thank you for all that you've done for us in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we want to ask you today that for those who brought in their tithes and their offering, according to your word, you will open the windows of heaven above us. You pour out a blessing more than enough. You rebuke the devourer for our sakes. We ask you to multiply the seed sown and increase the fruit of our righteousness. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we commit everyone into your hands. Lord, even tomorrow as a church, as we start the 3-day prayer and fasting, Lord, help us not to do anything in our own strength. Help us not to look to ourselves, but to look to you. And Lord, we ask you to give strength to everyone. Supernatural strength. Minister grace. Give grace to everyone. The Bible says you give grace to the humble. You give grace to the humble. Lord, give grace to every one of us, Lord. Give us the strength. Lord, even as we seek your face, let us find you. Let us find you, Lord. There are many things Lord, concerning which one to seek you about. He said, he that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh, the door shall be opened. Lord, let it be a time, 3 days in your presence, 3 days, even as some of us have to go to work. Lord, wherever we are, may we not leave your presence. May we carry your presence with us, the consciousness of your presence. Because you already said you will never leave us nor forsake us. But that consciousness of it, let us continue to stir up that consciousness as we move around in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's make welcome David.
Hello. Hello. We've
looks like
praise the Lord. Okay, our conference is the 8th, 9th, and 10th of January, and Dr. Ralph Martin will be at that conference. So please invite your friends, family to that. It's going to be really wonderful. And also, towards the end of January, we're going to be having a Ladies' Day retreat. Amen. Okay, now, there is a charge for that. It's £30 per person. It's at Sunningdale Park. The lunch there is very nice. I've eaten there several times, and it's a good place, so I'm sure you'll enjoy it. So that's at Sunningdale Park. It's literally less than a 10-minute drive from here, okay? So it's not very far. It's just straight down the A30, and you just head towards Sunningdale there. It's really quite easy to find. Please.